When Jesus returned to Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. So many gathered around that there was no longer room for them, not even in front of the door. And he was speaking the word to them. Then some people came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. And when they could not bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this fellow speak in this way? It is blasphemy. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" At once Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were discussing these questions among themselves. And he said to them, "Why do you raise such questions in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Stand up and take your mat and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, stand up, take your mat, and go to your home." And he stood up and immediately took the mat and went out before all of them, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Today's story about a paralyzed man lowered through a roof by four friends is one of the most memorable stories in the New Testament. I've loved it ever since I first heard it as a child. Everyone I've talked to about it this past week has been familiar with the story. I think today's story is memorable for several reasons. First of all, digging through a roof to reach Jesus is kind of fun. The four friends were persistent. A blocked front door didn't stop them. A house with too many people didn't stop them. This is a story about persistence. The obvious reason why this story is memorable is that the paralyzed man was healed. The story is certainly a healing story. We don't usually think of this, but it was possible that the paralyzed man lowered into the crowded room may not have been healed. It was a real risk that these four friends were taking. They didn't know the outcome. We do. They didn't know the outcome. They could have ended up with only a hole in the roof. Oops. So this is a story about taking risks. Of course, the risk paid off. The paralyzed man was healed as they'd hoped. So that makes this a success story. I love what Mark says after the four friends lowered the paralyzed man into the house. Mark said, "When Jesus saw their faith," Jesus looked at what they had done. Jesus looked at their actions and he saw their faith with his own eyes. We usually don't think of faith as something we can see, but Jesus saw faith in their actions. Faith can be visible. Faith can be seen. So this is a faith story. In the popular TV show, The Chosen, Jesus had a conversation with one of the friends. He was in the room and she was up on the roof. And from the roof, she looks down and she says to Jesus, "My friend has been paralyzed since childhood. He has no hope but you." Jesus, looking up, says to her, "Your faith is beautiful." That's beautiful faith. Believing that our hope is in Jesus Christ. And so this is a story of hope. And the first thing that Jesus said to the paralyzed man was, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, it's likely that this is the first time that Jesus met the paralyzed man. Imagine meeting Jesus in person the first time. What do you think Jesus would say to you meeting him the first time? "For this man, it was, son, your sins are forgiven." Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear Jesus himself say those words to us? "Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven." Jesus is pointing us here to the cross. Jesus is pointing us to the salvation he would win for us. Jesus is pointing us to the forgiveness of sins. On the cross, Jesus gave his life for all people. Every time we celebrate Holy Communion, we say that Jesus died for the forgiveness of sin. Today's story is also a forgiveness story. And now we come to a major theme in Mark's gospel account. The scribes and the Pharisees, the keepers of the law, accuse Jesus of blasphemy. Jesus told the paralyzed man, "The Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." The scribes and the Pharisees never bought that. In their eyes, only God can forgive sins. It's blasphemy to claim that you can do what only God can do. So today's story is a story of conflict. A conflict of blasphemy. The very charge that would eventually lead to the death of Jesus. Mark reports that soon after this, the scribes and the Pharisees would make plans to destroy him. It's a story of conflict. Sometimes we get the impression on hearing these gospel readings that Jesus was anti-Jewish law. But he was not. Jesus was a faithful rabbi who embraced God's law with all his heart. The conflict between Jesus and the scribes and the Pharisees was really about priorities. Jesus was more concerned about a person's soul than what kind of food they ate. Jesus was more concerned about a person's soul than whether or not they observed the Sabbath law in a certain way. Jesus was first and foremost concerned that a person be wrapped in the forgiveness of God. For Jesus, forgiveness comes first. So this is a story about priorities, the priority of forgiveness. And let's look at the people in the crowded house. Mark tells us they were amazed. Of course they were. They saw a healing take place. And what did they do with their amazement, with their outside voices? They glorified God. So this is a story about giving the glory to God. Now, I've just described today's story in 10 different ways. It's a story about persistence, healing, taking risks, success, faith, hope, forgiveness, conflict, priorities, and giving glory to God. It's a great story. Now you take all of these 10 that I've mentioned and wrap them into one complete story, and you have really what is a love story. God's story of love for God's people. There's something in this story for everyone. There's something in this story for every aspect of our lives. Now, Mark was a storyteller, and I'd like to channel Mark for a bit and finish this story. My story, the way I'm finishing it, isn't in the Bible. It didn't happen the way I'm going to tell it. Then again, it happened that way in my mind. So for me, this is how the story ends. The healed man went home as instructed, and his family's rejoicing was through the roof. The four friends didn't leave the home of Jesus. They didn't leave the scene of the healing. They continued to listen to Jesus. They were still on the roof listening to Jesus give the word. And that evening, after most of the people had gone home, the healed man and his family come back to the house of Jesus. Jesus was still teaching. This was turning into an all-nighter of listening to Jesus, right up my alley. And as sun rose at dawn, we see Jesus, there's a few of the disciples, there's the four friends, there's the healed man and his family. And then Jesus says, it's time for breakfast. But first, let's fix the roof. So Jesus and his disciples rolled up their sleeves and fixed the roof. One disciple asked, how do we know this won't happen again? And Jesus answered, it may well happen again. And if it does, I'll heal. I'll forgive. We'll talk about what God has done. And we'll roll up our sleeves. And we'll fix the roof again. This is my way of saying that this story is a story about us. This story is a story about the church. This story does happen again and again and again. Jesus heals. Jesus forgives again and again and again. This story is for us when we're paralyzed with sickness. Whether the sickness be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. God will send us four friends. Maybe three. Maybe two. Maybe one. Maybe 40. God sends us friends to guide us into the healing arms of Jesus. This is also a story for us when we see someone else who's paralyzed with physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual sickness. God appoints disciples. God appoints us. God appoints people of faith to become a friend to those who are paralyzed. And there are countless ways to be a friend to someone who needs healing. We can pray that person into the presence of Jesus. And there are an infinite number of actions that we can do to lead others into the healing arms of Jesus. There are an infinite number of ways that people can see our faith. Now, I don't recommend destroying a roof, but I do recommend breaking barriers. There are so many barriers that need to be broken down in today's world. There are barriers of skin color, ethnic heritage, differences in faith, including those who say they have no faith. These are barriers for us to break down. Not to shut people out, but to enter into their lives. There's social barriers that we need to break down, like what part of town we live in, what our financial status is, or what kind of job we have. In today's world, the number of barriers to be broken is through the roof. This world has over the top division, hurt, pain, war. Over the top, through the roof problems in our world. With all these barriers in today's world, it's God's will that we help each other. And such help and the healing stories that we bring to others, these stories also need to go through the roof. As disciples of Jesus, as people of faith, we're called to have through the roof faith. We're called to have through the roof love. In the first draft of this sermon, I had a couple stories of people who helped me when I'd been paralyzed. And I had inspiring hero stories where people have been helping others in this tragic storm of Hurricane Helene. People helping people through the roof is happening in today's world. And so I invite you to spend some time this week looking at such stories. I invite you to spend some time in this coming week in prayerful thanksgiving. Give thanks to God for the people who have helped you, who have shown through the roof love to you. You might even take some time to thank those friends who have helped you. And also spend some time this coming week asking God to lead you to places where you can be a friend to others, where you can help others, where you can break down barriers. Again, no roofs. This week, ask God for strength, that you can help others when they have through-the-roof problems. And please, spend some time this coming week giving glory, glory to God. Instead of leading you through a list in prayer, as I usually do, I invite you to take the time to pray through this personal list this coming week. Pray in thanksgiving for those who have helped you. Pray for strength that you can help others, and give glory to God this week. For now, let's end simply by listening to the voice of Jesus. This is a word for us. This is a word for the whole world. Child of God, Jesus says. Child of God. Your sins are forgiven.